Text for this morning, Isaiah 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Beloved, Isaiah 40 prophetically presupposes Judah's captivity in Babylon. As you know, the southern kingdom walked impenitently in sin, despite the warnings of the prophets, and so finally God raised up the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and Judah and cart many of the survivors off to that pagan land. But Jehovah, by his grace, is going to bring his people back. 70 years after the fall of Jerusalem, he would restore his people in the land of Palestine. And this typifies the much greater redemption of all of God's people through his suffering servant, Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, as Isaiah will later write. So let's consider then, briefly, the first 11 verses of Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, it begins. The comfort here for God's people is that as the Babylonian captivity will draw to an end, so too will Israel's chastisement be completed. For Israel, in her head, Jesus Christ has received the punishment due her for her sins. That's the first couple of verses. In verses 3 through 5, we have the ministry of John the Baptist, because these verses are so quoted in the four Gospels. And the point here is that Jehovah, the great King, is coming, and as befits the arrival of a great emperor, we need smooth, straight, level roads. And so verse 4 says that with respect to this great road building project, we have to exalt the valleys, fill in the low places, make the mountains and hills low, and then all the crooked roads, we've got to make them straight, and the bumpy potholed roads have to be made smooth. Because God is coming. And when God comes, verse 5 states, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh, Jews and Gentiles, will see it." John 1:14 states that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verses 6 through 8 explain more fully what John preached, not only the coming of the Messiah, but also the total depravity of man. Every human being is like grass, and the best things that human beings do are like the flowers of grass. And then the wind comes, and the Holy Spirit blows upon that grass and withers that flower, so that it all decays and fades away. The people is grass, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That's what John preached. And in the next bit, verses 9 through 11, we see Zion or Jerusalem like a preacher on a high hill proclaiming with a loud voice to all the cities of Judah, "Behold thy God." Verse 10, "The Lord God is coming. He will come in strength, and he will rule with his arm, and the reward for all his labor is set forth before him to encourage him. And then we come to our text, which explains that God's powerful reign, set forth in the opening few verses, is also allied with grace and compassion for his people. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. And as you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came in our flesh 2,000 years ago. He was the one whose way John the Baptist prepared. He revealed the glory of the Lord, and he came in strength to rule. And he who is called God throughout this passage is also the compassionate shepherd of verse 11. He is both powerful and merciful. And this one, the Lord Jesus, is called the Good Shepherd, John 10, the Great Shepherd, Hebrews 13, and the Chief Shepherd, 1 Peter 5, of us sheep. And if you ask, what has all of this to do with baptism, specifically the baptism of a covenant child, Rebecca Halliday? Well, it's especially the bit in the middle, that he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, as we shall see. So let us consider together Jesus Christ, the compassionate shepherd, shepherding the flock, gathering the lambs, and leading the mothers. These three parts follow the parts of our text. Jesus Christ, the compassionate shepherd, shepherding the flock, gathering the lambs, and leading the mothers. Beloved, sheep are the most frequently mentioned animals in the Bible. And that probably won't strike you as odd. That fits, even scanning it in your mind, with what you probably would have guessed anyway. There's more about sheep in the Bible than cattle or horses or dogs. We read of individual sheep. We read of flocks of sheep, collectively. Lambs, little sheep. Foals, where the sheep sleep at night, and shepherds who care for the sheep. And sheep could be said to have three main traits or characteristics. The first of these is the positive trait. Sheep are obedient. As Jesus said, "My sheep hear." And that includes recognize my voice and follow me. John 10. This is the characteristic of all God's people who are sheep, obedient. We hear the voice of Christ and we obey him and follow him. Along with the positive trait of sheep comes secondly the negative trait. Sheep are foolish and unintelligent. One writer said that sheep are prone to wander and unable to find their way to a sheepfold even when it is within sight. That's foolish. That's unintelligent. And that is us too, beloved. We're both obedient and incredibly foolish. Like sheep, because we consist spiritually of the old man and the new man. Then we have the third trait of sheep, which flows from the first two. Sheep are very dependent upon their shepherd. They're dependent on the shepherd to lead and guide them. That fits with the positive trait that sheep are obedient. And they are dependent on the shepherd to bring them back when they stray, which fits with the second trait that sheep are foolish and silly animals. And this third trait of sheep, their dependency, becomes especially more evident to us when we contrast today's sheep farming in the West with caring for sheep in the ancient Near East in biblical times. In our countryside today, sheep spend most of their time in fields fenced in. And if there develops a hole, they're sure to climb out through it, and then several will go with them. But for most of the time, sheep are fenced in fields. By and large, in that field, they fend for themselves. They eat the grass, and there's enough water for them. By and large, they don't have that much of a threat from predators. There are no bears, no wolves, and no lions in Northern Ireland, apart from zoos. But in ancient Israel, it was very different. They didn't have fields fenced in to restrain the sheep. And there were lots of predators from which the sheep needed to be kept safe. And so they're particularly dependent. You don't have a fence to keep them in the field. And there are animals which will kill the sheep if they get a chance. Now, this third trait of sheep, their dependency, which is the main thing in our text this morning, the third trait of sheep becomes even clearer when we contrast sheep with goats. Goats are savvy. Goats are self-reliant. Goats can cope on their own. They even like it better on their own. And the goat is the image of the worldly, wise, unbelieving person who reckons that he does not need God. That's a goat. He can cope on his own without the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit revealed in the Scriptures. And as opposed to the self-reliant goat, sheep are helpless and dependent. Sheep are the biblical image of those who know that they do need God, and that they're lost and helpless without God's grace in Jesus Christ. And that's us, beloved. And now, knowing the characteristics of sheep, this helps us to understand our text, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd." And literally, the verb feed is shepherd. He shall shepherd his flock like a shepherd. And that phrase, "like a shepherd," actually comes first in the text. It reads in the Hebrew, "like a shepherd, he will shepherd his flock." And shepherds, as you know, are leaders and guides for the sheep. Shepherds lead and guide the sheep, especially to green pastures. That's the phrase in Psalm 23. And when the grazing is finished in the green pasture, the shepherd leads the sheep to new green pastures. Shepherds also lead the sheep to water. And Psalm 23 talks about the still waters. And there the sheep drink their fill. And after spending the morning grazing and drinking, the shepherds then bring the sheep, typically, to a shady and cool place to avoid the heat of the day. And there the sheep lie down, and the shepherd takes this occasion to tend to any sheep which are fevered or scratched or damaged in any way. And in the evening, the shepherd leads the sheep to a fold where they spend the night in safety and security. There's a lot of leading and guiding by the shepherd here. And in all of this leading and guiding, whether to pasture or water or a shady area or to the fold, the shepherd seeks as much as possible to direct the flock on safe paths. He avoids, if at all possible, areas which he knows are frequented by predators. This is what the shepherd does. In his work of caring for the sheep, the shepherd, from the Bible and in society too, the shepherd especially uses three instruments. Instrument number one is the rod. And the rod is like a club. And the club is to be used against the wild beasts who would attack the sheep. And in biblical times you think of lions and bears and John 10, wolves. The rod. Instrument two for a shepherd is the staff. We're more familiar with the staff because it is like the shepherd's crook with which we are accustomed. With the crook, you can also protect the sheep and you can rescue them and hook them back betimes. And you use the crook or the staff sometimes to number or count them. And as they go by, you go 1, 2, 3, and the Bible uses that image in Leviticus 27, for instance. And those two instruments, the rod and the staff, are mentioned together in Psalm 23. The third instrument isn't held in the hand of the shepherd. It is his voice. You can refer to someone's voice as an instrument. And if, for instance, several flocks mingle together at a well, or several flocks share the same fold at night, the shepherd only has to speak and his own sheep will come to him, because the shepherd's own sheep know his voice and they will not follow the voice of strangers. And that's the point that Jesus makes describing shepherds in the opening verses of John chapter 10. Or if a wolf approaches and there's a sheep straying over yonder, the shepherd will call to the sheep and the sheep will come running. The shepherd uses his rod and staff and voice especially. You can understand, therefore, from what we've been seeing, that without the shepherd, the sheep would not survive very long. Because the sheep depend on the shepherd for grazing and watering and shelter and protection and medical care. They need the shepherd with his rod and staff and voice, because the sheep of themselves are helpless and foolish and very vulnerable, and they have nothing with which to defend themselves when they are attacked by wild and savage animals. They need and depend on the shepherd for everything. And this is the thinking of a Christian. The Christian thinks, in every area of my life, I need the triune God in Jesus Christ. There isn't a single thing that I can do without Christ. For, as Jesus put it in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. That's the consciousness of a sheep. How then does the Lord Jesus Christ shepherd us as his sheep? And he does it centrally, as I trust you very well know, by his word. The 66 books of inspired scripture. The good shepherd directs and guides us by His Word. The Great Shepherd protects us by His Word. He protects us from false doctrines, from false teachers, from false churches, from false religions, and from the ungodly world by His Word. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, feeds us with the bread of life from the Scriptures. He waters us with the water of life from the Bible. And we, as His sheep, hear the voice of our Good Shepherd in Holy Writ. It's that simple. And what does the Scripture teach us? The Scripture comes to us and says, in every regard, you are a totally dependent sheep. You can do nothing of yourself. Nothing good, spiritually. You can do a lot of things of yourselves, and they're all evil and bad. But you can do nothing good without the shepherd. You're totally dependent, as a sheep, upon Jesus Christ in every area of your life, always. You need the good shepherd. But Jesus Christ shepherds us by His Word and through His Holy Spirit. That needs to be said too. Because it is the Spirit of the Good Shepherd that leads and guides us through the Word. The Word, without the Bible, without the Spirit, doesn't change or renew us. The Spirit must bless the Word to our hearts. And so it is that we can only eat and drink the bread and water of life in the Word by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We can only hear what the Good Shepherd says to us in the Scriptures by the Spirit who speaks through the Bible. And it is only through the Holy Spirit who uses the Word that we are taught inwardly and deeply that we are sheep, totally dependent on our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, for everything. And so Jesus Christ shepherds His flock by Word and Spirit. Not the Word without the Spirit, and not the Spirit without the Word, but both of them together always. And if you ask, where does Jesus Christ shepherd His sheep? The answer is that Christ shepherds His sheep by Word and Spirit in the church. In a true church, which manifests the three marks of the church: biblical preaching, sacraments, and church discipline. Jesus Christ shepherds His sheep by Word and Spirit in the preaching, because that is the voice of the Good Shepherd, as Jesus teaches in John chapter 10, and as the Reformed have always quoted Him in this connection. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and they hear My voice, and I have them follow Me, in the preaching of the Word of God. And continuing this line of thought, Jesus Christ shepherds His sheep by the Word and Spirit in the two Christian sacraments. In the Lord's Supper, Christ presents Himself to us as the bread of life to be eaten by faith alone. And Christ shepherds His sheep too in baptism, as with Rebecca. Jesus Christ also shepherds His sheep by His Word and Spirit through office bearers. The minister is called in Ephesians 4, verse 11, pastor and teacher, and pastor means shepherd. And those two words together, pastor and teacher, means that he shepherds by teaching. Elders, both ruling and teaching, are called shepherds in Acts 20, verse 28, in 1 Peter 5, and other places. And the idea here is that Jesus Christ, the good and great and chief shepherd, shepherds his flock through under shepherds that he employs. And then they shepherd his flock according to the word, not as lords, but as examples to the other sheep. And I say other sheep because office bearers are sheep too, as well as being shepherds. And in this connection, we need to see that Jesus Christ shepherds his sheep by the word and spirit in flocks. A sheep is not meant to live alone off on the hills. Sheep are not supposed to exist in ones or twos or threes or fours. Sheep are not to isolate or distance themselves from the other sheep. And as you move around the countryside and sometimes see sheep in fields, you'll realize they're always there in flocks, not one or two here or there. They group together. They are social animals. Sheep need to be with and under their shepherd. They need to be with and under their shepherd with other sheep in flocks, as Acts 20, 28 and 29 and 1 Peter 5 teach us. And together in flocks, in true churches, the sheep hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, in the preaching, and the sheep are led and protected by under shepherds who are office bearers and who represent the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And this is the biblical way that the Lord Jesus shepherds his flock like a shepherd. He shall shepherd his flock like a shepherd. That's what passage says. Now, though all sheep are ovine, a new word probably for many of us at least, it's the adjective pertaining to sheep. Though all sheep are sheep-like, they have the nature of sheep, we can make some distinctions regarding sheep. Very obvious they are too. You have male rams and female ewes. Big sheep, small sheep, strong sheep, weak sheep, sick sheep, healthy sheep, young sheep, and old sheep. Now our text makes a distinction. It refers to lambs. And lambs are little sheep. Lambs are baby sheep, so to speak. And if sheep are helpless and dependent creatures, lambs are the most helpless and most dependent of the sheep. The sheep depend on the shepherd, and the lambs not only depend on the shepherd, but the lambs depend even on the dependent sheep, and especially their mothers, because these lambs are particularly young sheep, small sheep, weak sheep, and foolish sheep. Now, they're also very cute, but they are young, small, weak, and foolish. They're just little versions of us. The idea in our text of mentioning the lambs is to indicate the deep compassion and care of the shepherd, pictorially Jesus Christ, for the little lambs. And we said earlier that the shepherd leads and guides the flock to the green pastures, to the still waters, to shady areas at noon and folds at night. Sometimes the way is long and weary, and sometimes the paths are dangerous. Difficult enough for the full-grown sheep, but what about the little lambs? That's the point. Little lambs often and very easily become tired. They're the ones who are most at risk when the predators are near. So what does the shepherd do? He gathers the lambs with his arm and he carries them in his bosom, because he sees that they're weary and fearful. That's what the text says. And this is what the Lord Jesus does too. The Lord Jesus is busy leading his flock from the Babylon of this world, typified by the earthly Babylon in the Old Testament. He's leading his flock from the Babylon of this world to the heavenly city and country, the spiritual Canaan. And that way is long and hard and wearisome for you, for all the sheep. And it is particularly difficult for the lambs. And so our good shepherd gathers the lambs with his arm and carries them in his bosom with love and consideration and compassion and care. He is Jesus Christ, the compassionate shepherd. And all of this teaches us something very important regarding our children. As lambs, and that's the biblical word for them here in Isaiah 40 verse 11 and elsewhere, as lambs, our children are essentially little sheep. The lamb is a little one, all right, but it's a little sheep. It's not a little something else. It's a sheep, just a small one. And in the Bible, sheep is shorthand for elect. Those who are chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus talks in John 10 about his sheep, his own sheep, and the sheep that the Father gave him. And as lambs, or little sheep, our children are not reprobate goats. Now, I'm speaking of them here organically considered. There are some of our physical seed who are Esau's. And Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. But according to the election of God, this is the spiritual, organic way the Bible teaches us to view our children. Our children are to be considered as lambs and little sheep until they show or indicate the contrary by a godless and wicked lifestyle. In the same way you view a confessing adult, you view him as a sheep unless he falls into some sin and remains unpenitent in it. Sheep are elect. The little ones, the lambs, are little sheep. Little elect. And then too, in calling our children lambs, our children are not only elect, but redeemed. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," John 10 verse 11. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The big sheep, the middle sheep, and the little sheep who are called lambs. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then too, as sheep, our children are elect and redeemed and called. Because my sheep hear my voice. That's why they're sheep. I'm the shepherd and my sheep hear my voice. They're effectually called. My sheep hear the word brought by their parents when the psalms are sung, when the word is preached, especially as they get older and become more conscious of it. The word that comes to them strikes a chord in their heart, and that seed which is planted in them in regeneration is watered by the word and brings forth fruit. Elect, redeemed, and called are our lambs as little sheep, because they have the same nature as older sheep. A lamb is smaller than a sheep, but it's essentially a sheep. It has the same nature as the older sheep. The little lamb is foolish and sinful, like us, but the little lamb, assuming him now to be one of Christ's elect, is also obedient to Christ's voice, is also dependent on the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd feeds and waters and protects them too. So if not one of the sheep, and therefore not one of the lambs, is ever plucked out of the hand of the Good Shepherd or his Father. John 10, 28 and 29. And it is therefore a reproach to Jesus Christ to teach that he has a church that does not include children. Who ever heard of a shepherd? A shepherd who has a flock that never has lambs. What sort of a shepherd is he? What sort of a flock of sheep does he have? But Jesus tells us that in his flock, he has lambs. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. In this verse, Isaiah 40 verse 11, though in the Old Testament, is a prophecy of the New Testament and the New Testament age, because it's predicting here the coming of John the Baptist in verses 3 through 8, who declares that God in Jesus Christ is coming to reveal the Lord's glory, and then he comes to rule on God's behalf and establish the kingdom of God, and he feeds his flock, the New Testament church, like a shepherd, and he gathers his lambs who are in that New Testament church for which he died and shed his blood. And so, in John chapter 21, Jesus said to Peter, and hence to all the apostles and shepherds in the church, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. And the lambs are just smaller versions of the sheep, but they're both essentially ovine, sheepish. They belong to me as elect and redeemed and called, dependent on me for everything. So we have in verse 11 this beautiful imagery of Jesus Christ gathering the lambs or children of the church with his arm, picturing strength. And when Jesus gathers with his arm, he saves. His arm is mighty, and that gathering is salvation. The scriptures speak of Jesus as gathering his holy Catholic church from all nations, and that gathering is his saving them. Jesus gathers the lambs. And then he gathers them in order to carry them. So his strength then supports our lambs in their weakness. And he places the lambs and children of the church in his bosom. A place that is the most intimate place in all the world. Because Jesus Christ has covenant fellowship and intimacy spiritually with our children and lambs. And in the bosom of Christ, the children are by his heart because he loves them, and therefore he died for them. And this is the biblical teaching regarding our elect and covenant children. And we have a great instance of this pictured for us in our Lord's life and ministry, when he blessed the little children on the other side of the Jordan in Mark 10 and Luke 18 and Matthew 19. And he said that these children, and they were infants, he was able to carry them easily. He said of these children, of such is the kingdom of God. These children brought to me, and therefore the children of believing parents, are in the kingdom of God. God rules over them by His Word and Holy Spirit in their hearts, so that they inwardly are taught by God and submit to His reign. Jesus put the children in His arms because He embraces them and wants them close to Him. And in His arms, then Jesus blessed them. And as the Messiah, the anointed of God, His blessing is efficacious and irresistible, so that these children received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because if the Messiah blesses you, you are blessed. In this connection, Jesus said, "Let nobody stop these children coming to me. Suffer them, allow them to come, because they're in the kingdom of heaven. I want them in my arms to bless them as their Messiah and Savior." This is why we baptize our children. Our children are not little vipers. Our children are little sheep. That is, lambs. That's the biblical word for them. Elect, redeemed, beloved, embraced and carried by Jesus Christ. And baptism is a sign and seal of what they already have in Jesus Christ. Their sins are forgiven. Their sins are forgiven because Christ, the Good Shepherd, laid down His life for the sheep. Old ones and young ones. Very briefly, there is more good news for Christian parents in our text. And not just regarding their children, in the middle of the verse, but now also Christ's compassion for the mothers in Israel at the end of the verse. "He shall gently lead those that are with young." The Hebrew word here for those that are with young means those who suckle their young. Young that have been born and are now being nursed. And the word here also means those who are pregnant and who have not yet given birth, but who feed their young in the womb. "He shall gently lead those that are with young," whether in the womb or born and suckling. And now we think of the difficulty. The difficulty for the pregnant ewes or ewes who suckle their young. They have to go to the pastures, then they go to the still waters, then there's the shady areas, then they've got to go to the fold at night, and there they are carrying their young in their womb, or having also to suckle their young, and they are weary and exhausted, and the shepherd sees this and he leads those that are with young. He gently leads them because he doesn't want to drive them too hard. In fact, he doesn't drive them at all by going behind them and cracking a whip. He goes in front of them and he leads them gently and slowly, according to their capacity, what they can bear, out of care and compassion, not only for the little ones, the lambs that he has in his bosom, but also the pregnant and sucking mothers. This is good news too, therefore, for the mothers, and so indirectly for the fathers, because God in Jesus Christ here promises that He will give grace to mothers, pregnant mothers, mothers nursing their children, to uphold and strengthen them in their difficult and laborious and sometimes wearisome and tiring task as they care for and feed their young. As their children run them ragged sometimes, make them tired, and they feel frail and weak. because all the church of Jesus Christ, all of his flock, is journeying to the heavenly Jerusalem, and some are the little ones who need to be carried, and some are the mothers who are weary looking after children and need strength and compassion and support. And this too is part of the first 11 verses of Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and comfort her with these words, Christ is coming. Christ is coming. He's going to reveal the glory of the Lord. Preach this to the nations and tell them about my son, the compassionate shepherd who feeds his flock and who gathers the lambs in his arms and who gently leads those who are with young. Amen.